Hey everyone, welcome back for another episode of the Deep River Rock Belfast City Marathon Getting to the Start Line podcast. My name's Emer and I'm joined today by our official course measure, John Glover. John is the Northern Ireland representative for the Association of UK Course Measures. So if you've run an Athletics NI ratified road race, it's likely been measured by John. Can you tell us a bit about your running journey, John, and your involvement with the Belfast City Marathon over the years?
Well, I started next year will be my 60th anniversary of running. I ran in the boys championship in 1962 in the 880 yards, and then went on to won 4 Northern Ireland senior titles, represented Northern Ireland internationally at 800 metres, and then I sort of moved into coaching and into administration, which is, I suppose, where I am now. And then by 1982, when the marathon first started, I was 35 then, and I sort of finished my track career. And I kind of got caught up, I suppose, like everybody else at that time, and there was a big running boom with Bob Geldorf and the Third World Run, you know, with thousands of people all over the world taking part in runs. So I sort of got sucked into that a wee bit, ran the first Belfast City Marathon. I ran again in 1986, and then I ran my final one on my 60th birthday in 2007. So I was sort of involved with the marathon in various ways over the years, with writing articles for the magazine occasionally for the programme, helping Glenn Grant out in the early days, doing a bit of coached a couple of the female winners. And then in 2007, I sort of started doing a bit of course measurement, and I was asked to measure the marathon route then. So it did, and then the following year they wanted it, because I was only really started in those days, so they wanted it authenticated, so they brought a guy up from Dublin who was a grade one official, and three of us went out and remeasured the marathon, and that was, so that was 2008. Then it was remeasured again in 2012 on a major remeasurement. And then in 2019, you decided in your wisdom that you wanted the course recognised by the international IAAF. So that required another sort of major remeasurement and a 20-page document that had to be sent to AIMS and so on. So yeah, that was... throughout those years, the courses changed so many times, little bits added on, little bits taken off here and there. We moved from a 2-lap course to a 1-lap course, and then we moved to the City Hall, and now we've moved to Stormont. So that's basically my involvement over the years.
Can you share some insight into the process behind devising a route, and what has been your favourite part of a route in Belfast?
Yeah, well, some people actually think, I know from doing other measurements, some people believe that you can jump into a car and drive around the course, and that's the measurement. Unfortunately, it's not as easy as that. Events throughout the world, all marathons, in fact, all major road races throughout the world, are all come under one method of measurement, and that's using a thing called a Jones counter, which is attached to the front of a bicycle wheel, and which records not distance, but just records clicks, and then you have to sort of mathematically work out what that means. So every measurement you have to recalibrate your bicycle wheel, and that's done on a 400 meter straight, in my case, stretch of road at Titanic Quarter, which is measured with metal tapes and all sorts of paraphernalia, so it's highly accurate. you have to cycle up and down that four times, and then you work out how many clicks per kilometer. And also you add on, there's a built-in 1 kilometer added, 1 meter per kilometer added as a fail-safe. So in actual fact, if you run a marathon, any marathon on the shortest route, you're running 42 meters more than you did. Most people will run a lot further than that because they're running corners wide and so on. So actually planning the route, which that was only a sort of later addition to that. Belfast has all sorts of problems. It's a very small city. The infrastructure in the city is disastrous. You've got basically 6 bridges running the length of the city. We, in the marathon, actually basically closed down 3 of those on marathon day. I'm usually given a start point and a finish point, and somehow or other I've got to get 26 and a bit miles, or 42.195 kilometres. And it's a case then of, from my point of view, then I want to try and make that as user-friendly as possible for the athlete. The other problem with Belfast is it's in the Lagan Valley, and that answers your question. You know, it's a valley, so if you move outside that valley, you're climbing. So it's well nigh impossible to get a flat course. I was looking the other night there, the only possible, if you ran out the M2 to Greencastle, turned around and ran back out to Sydenham, and turned around again and did that twice, it would be a flat, fast course. But again, there's no way you can have it. It has to be one lap in Belfast because of the, we've now got such a tremendous gap between the guys running 2 hours 16 at the front, people doing 6 hours at the back. You would just have, you know, so much overlapping that it would be chaos. So you're looking for one lap. The other problem then is it has to go into every community in the city. And you have all sorts of people who want to have their say, and who are obviously entitled to their say. So I, along with yourself, would be at meetings with stakeholders like police service, TransLink, medical services, emergency services, business communities, and of course, now that we've moved to a Sunday, we have the church-going communities. And all of these have to be taken into consideration as best you can. So it's a case of trying to find a route that fits into all of those possibilities. It's not perfect. There are certainly parts of the current route which I would, as a runner, not be happy with. But it's you just got to take it as it is and do your best. So I think this year we have a course which is as user friendly as possible from a runner point of view, and I hope causes as little disruption as possible for the general community. You asked about my favourite part of the courses. My favourite part probably doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately. They've taken it out, and that was from Gideon's Green to Duncree Street along the lock there, the lock shore, with on a good day, fabulous view right up the valley. You could see up to the start of the Lagan, and you could see across to Bangor and out to Scotland. Unfortunately, at the end of it, you come into what was probably the worst ever part of the marathon course, and that was Duncree Industrial Estate. Horrible, horrible. As far as this year's course is concerned, I think the Waterworks is the nicest place to run to. A lot of people will know that from their park run, but to me, it's a nice part of the course. And obviously, starting at Stormont is, you know, amazing.
Thank you, John. It's really exciting talking about it again. We really can't wait to be on the streets of Belfast again, hopefully later this year. So, John, in 2019, you released the History of Northern Ireland Marathon Running. The book contrasts the early days of running when some 18 runners contested the Northern Ireland Championships to the present day, when over 3,000 athletes traverse the streets of Belfast in search of their own personal aims and goals. You can order the book online from Pure Running for just £5, but we're giving 5 away to our listeners. All you have to do is tell us in the comments section where the start line was for the very first Belfast City Marathon in 1982. We'll not give away any clues, but I'm sure it's a very vivid image in your head, John.
Can I enter? I think I know the answer.
So, John, what should people look forward to in Belfast in September, and why should they choose their home marathon to compete in?
Well, I think this year is probably that's probably an easy choice, because I think, you know, the way things are going, if indeed we do get away with having a mass participation event in September, and I really, really hope we do, it's unlikely that people are going to have the opportunity to travel much further this year. So Belfast is going to be, the perfect option. But even beyond that, I mean, to me, I've had the pleasure of running from a social point of view in marathons in sort of, you know, Paris, Barcelona, Caen in France. But you've got to at least do one of your local events, your local race. So to me, it's a no-brainer, you know, really. And there's so much on that. I'm one of these people who I like to know where I'm running. So if I go to somewhere like Paris, I like to do a bit of research first and find out what to look out for. At the end of the day, there are going to be 3,000 plus, maybe more, competitors. The guys in the top 20 or 30 really don't care where they are. They're just going to be eyeballs out. But for most of the runners, they're going to be looking around them and it, seeing places of interest and takes their mind off what they're doing. And there's so much to look for on the Belfast course. And it's just jotting down. We started Stormont in itself, which is amazing. I wanted to get into politics, but this year, of course, is the 100th anniversary of Northern Ireland, so, you know, Stormont is a part to play there. You're then running the first 6 miles, you go through C.S. Lewis country, lots of connections there that you can see. You actually run past the Hollow, Van Morrison's famous Hollow. Like, people are paying a fortune to come and visit that. You're running basically past George Best's front door almost. You then get into Ormo Park and into the city and the whole history of the Donegal family, the city sort of built up around. You're running past the City Hall, Linen Hall Library. You're then running past the National Football Stadium. You're running past Casement Park. You're running, hopefully, through Lanark Way, which most people in the field wouldn't be venturing in that direction. Then the waterworks, which I've mentioned before, and then you're back into the city of all that architecture, you have the big fish and the big wire woman and all of those things. The Ormo Road, where we always get a fantastic welcome, particularly outside some of the pubs. And then down past the famous Martyrs Memorial, which this year is a change because we're going to be going straight down the road rather than chinking in through the park as we did last time we ran it. So, I mean, to me, it's a very interesting route, a great route to run. And the last mile and a half is going to be all downhill, so you have a nice finish to it. Yeah.
Got goosebumps just talking about it. We can't wait to be back doing it again. I think the appetite's there. Everyone's in the same boat.
Well, the appetite's definitely there. People are busting to get running. Absolutely busting to get running.
Yeah. John, thank you for your time today. It's been so interesting talking to you. To our listeners, thank you for joining us, and be sure to pick up John's History of Northern Ireland Marathon Running for some further insight.